You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. On the very first day that Michael Gustafson and his wife Hillary opened Literati Bookstore in the heart of downtown Ann Arbor, something possessed him to place a typewriter on a table for anybody to use. That was spring of 2013. Since then, Michael's public typewriter experiment has yielded a treasure trove of notes, some droll, some heartbreaking, others witty, some poignant.
Life, like this typewriter, has no backspace. Type strongly and don't look back.
There's something simultaneously thrilling and terrifying about a blank page.
I love it when you talk typewriter to me.
Everyone has a superpower. The trick is to find it.
Dear Nana, you would have loved this place.
Those are just a few of the notes that Michael Gustafson has put into his new book, which he co-edited with designer Oliver Uberti, Notes from a Public Typewriter. Michael, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, these notes are so fascinating, so powerful. What gave you this idea to use a corner of your bookstore for your public typewriter experiment?
You know, about 10 years ago, I inherited my grandfather's Smith Corona typewriter, and I remember I was a struggling writer at the time, and I remember using it for the first time and watching, pressing the keys and watching the hammer snap onto the white page, and it was like magic, and it made me feel connected to words and to language and also to him. He passed away when I was a kid, and I didn't really have a chance to know him. And so when my wife and I were considering opening up a bookstore here in Ann Arbor, we needed a logo, and we wanted our bookstore to embody curated, thoughtful books, curated writing. We wanted to support the kind of writing we believed in. And when you type on a typewriter, you have to self-edit. It's not like typing on a word processor where there's delete keys. Once you type something, it is on the page forever. And so there's the self-editing that happens. You have to be very thoughtful when you type on a typewriter. And we thought, well, for our logo idea for the bookstore, why not make our logo a typewriter? And so when your logo is a typewriter, obviously you put out a typewriter. And that first week we were open 5 years ago, I remember one of the first notes that was left on that typewriter was, thank you for being here. And over time, people began just leaving all kinds of notes, not just about books and bookstores, but very personal notes, very introspective notes, funny notes, notes, and the notes just kept accumulating.
Did the response outstrip what you thought it would be when you first put that out, or did you just want to see what happened?
We had no expectations of like how people would use it. You know, before we opened, I had this vision of the typewriter that would be this ongoing story. So if Literati was open for 30 years, we would have a 30-year-long novel where each customer would pick up where the last person left off. But I didn't like set up any prompts or anything. I just put out the typewriter because we were open. And I've just been amazed how people have used it without any kind of prompts. They've poured their souls out onto the page.
They have. Some of the notes that I really enjoyed speak to the younger generation trying to get what this typewriter thing is all about, like the one that said, if I had to write a 5-paragraph essay on this thing, I would withdraw from middle school. Or I love the comment, why does this thing have a hashtag symbol? They didn't have Twitter. Hashtag weird.
You know, we've been just amazed, like, the typewriter experiment really began to take off when we started sharing our favorite notes on social media. And when we started sharing those notes, young people started flocking to the typewriter. It almost became this destination around Ann Arbor where people would make a, especially small kids, would make a beeline straight for the typewriter. I'll never forget, like I was in the lower level and I saw a granddaughter and a grandfather. And the granddaughter was sitting on the grandfather's lap. And they were hand in hand and reciting, they were typing together and just reciting, I space L space O space V space E space Y space O space U. And in that moment when I saw that happen, it wasn't just about the words on the typewriter. There were these interactions that were happening around the typewriter. And one thing that my wife and I are always asked at Literati, at opening a bookstore, what's the biggest surprise that you've had? And the biggest surprise that we always come back to, we knew people would come in and browse books and discover new reads, but we didn't anticipate the amount of interactions that people would have around those books, conversations, people on dates, families coming in, talking about new reads, new voices. And the same thing happened with the typewriter. People began to interact with it. And so this book, Notes from Public Typewriter, it has our favorite notes over the past 5 years. but it also has photographs and stories and behind-the-scenes vignettes of the interactions that we've had as well.
And the experience of running a bookstore, and you stop and you think, it's so interesting that those giant chains, the Borders and Walden Books and Barnes & Noble, rose up through the 80s and 90s and caused a lot of small independent bookstores like yours to have to close. But now most of the biggies are gone, and bookstores like yours are reemerging. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think competition, especially online competition, has gotten fierce. I think it's very expensive. The 40,000 square foot model is just too expensive for real estate and lease prices and payroll. And there's actually a resurgence happening right now for smaller independent bookstores opening up in the wake of Borders closing, 2,000 to 4,000 square foot that are definitely like a tenth of the size of those big chain bookstores, but are very events focused, very community oriented, sort of third spaces for people, not work, not home, a place where people can just go.
And people, like, you know, we have this sense of life being, you know, you commute to work, you're in your car, you're at work, you go home, you're on your computer or your tablet, and you're in a silo. And this is a place to come to kind of get out of the silo.
I feel digitally fatigued. And I think that's happening with a lot of people that I talk to as well. And when you go into a bookstore, I mean, especially with this typewriter project, I've been reflecting a lot about why people are coming in and leaving all these notes. And I think there's, with this digital fatigue that we're experiencing, I think with the anonymous nature of notes, your name's not attached to it. It's not attached to a platform. You're not saying anything to get any followers or likes. It's just purely the power of words. And I think a lot of people respond to that.
Well, in fact, it struck me how many of these notes are very, very deeply personal, like this one.
2 days sober. Thrilled about the first, terrified of the second. Do not have enough money to buy a book today, but I'm comfortable here. Thank you.
Or this story of a missed opportunity.
I met the man of my dreams, and I'm moving 1,000 miles away from him tomorrow.
I mean, those could be the start of a book or a screenplay, because I found myself going, what happened? Do you find yourself seeing people writing things and wanting to, or, you know, somebody writes something, you know that they wrote maybe that last one, and you see them back again? Do you want to see how things work out, or do you want to just let them be in their anonymity?
Oliver and I, the co-designer of this book and co-editor, we've been talking a lot about, do you want to know? Is imagination better than truth? And I'm so glad that in this montage that you played a note, Dear Nana, you would have loved this place. The first book that we sold when the book went on sale in late March, it was at 10 in the morning and I was in the basement of Literati and somebody said, Mike, somebody wants you to sign a book. So I walked upstairs and the first customer was there said, my daughter was in New York and she saw your book out and she flipped through the book and she saw a note that she wrote. And it was, Dear Nana, you would have loved this place. And she told me the story that it happened maybe about a year ago where Nana passed away and they were all in town and she came and she wrote this note. And there was two amazing things that I took away from that. The first was that this woman said that her daughter wants to be a writer and was so proud now she's a published writer. And then the second note is that this memory of this experience and Nana has this second life on this book. And we've had a few of those interactions and it's been lovely, but it is also when you take a note like what we've done and you surround it with white on the page, you sort of frame this note as a moment in time. And these notes aren't Pulitzer Prize-winning thoughts. They're very simple. They're very authentic. But you wonder, what's the backstory? And sometimes just wondering is a fun, powerful experience.
And that, as you go through the pages of Notes from a Public Typewriter, that's exactly what I felt. Speaking of typewriters, probably America's most famous typewriter geek is Tom Hanks, who I know he is crazy for typewriters. And tell me, you actually reached out to him.
I did. I am very aware of Tom Hanks' enthusiasm for typewriters. He just wrote a book that is centered around typewriters that we sell in the store. And I thought that it was only appropriate for me to type a letter to Tom Hanks and send him the book. So I pulled out my grandfather, Smith Corona. I typed a letter to him. We sent it off. I had no expectations. This is one of the most famous people in the world. No expectations. A couple weeks later in our bookstore's inbox, there's this very unassuming letter, and I open it up, and it's a typed letter from Tom Hanks, and he said, "Bravo, who could pass up the opportunity to type on a public typewriter? Nobody that I would know." And it was so meaningful. It was such a great experience.
I hope that's framed.
Oh, yeah. Definitely framed.
Definitely framed. Here's one final note that really jumped out at us.
Typewriters remind us that words are sound. They make noise like the striking of keys, the scratch of pen on paper. What have we lost now that words are silent?
What did this public typewriter experiment teach you? What have we lost now that words are silent?
I think that part of the joy for this experiment has been seeing all the younger people flock to the typewriter and feel that connection that I had when I used that typewriter from my grandfather 10 years ago, this actual physical, tangible connection with words and writing. It's a great experience to write anything, but when you see those words pop into life on a white page, you're reminded of the power of words and the lasting power of words, which is really what this book is all about. And this book is an ode not only to words and language, but also to independent bookstores. And I can't thank the community enough for contributing to this book.
It's a beautiful book, Notes from a Public Typewriter, edited by Michael Gustafson and Oliver Oberti. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, and congratulations on a beautiful read.
Thank you so much.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.